Kate Fagan played basketball for the University of Colorado from 1999 to 2004. With a reporter's eye for detail, she has chronicled her experiences there, which comes as no surprise since she's an ESPN columnist. Fagan's new book, The Reappearing Act, is subtitled Coming Out as Gay on a College Basketball Team Led by Born-Again Christians. The author joins me now from NPR's New York Bureau. Kate Fagan, welcome to Only a Game.
Hi, Bill. Thanks for having me.
While you were still one of the younger players on the basketball team at the University of Colorado, well before coming out felt like a possibility, several of your teammates invited you to join a Christian fellowship group. What was the attraction for you?
It really felt like a social engagement. I really looked up to my teammates. I enjoyed being around them. I wanted to emulate pretty much everything they did. And as they started to become more involved in their faith, they invited me, and it felt very easy and light.
At one of the group's meetings, several of your teammates professed their concern that the team's coach was on the road to hell and that they needed to save her. What led them to think that, and how did you respond to what they wanted to do about it?
I think in women's sports and in women's college basketball in particular, the sexuality of coaches and assistant coaches is often an open secret. And it was that way at the University of Colorado. So my reaction as my teammates referenced, quote unquote, sinful lifestyle of our coaches was at that time to be completely silent when I heard it. I was stunned and I was just quiet.
In one of the memorable scenes in the book, you recall a conversation you had during your senior year with the mother of a player the University of Colorado coach was trying to recruit. The mom wondered why there were no men on the coaching staff, and she told you, "I don't want my daughter coming to a school run by dykes." What was your response?
My response was to avoid any discussion of sexuality in that moment, because it was something I had been taught was uncomfortable, and it felt uncomfortable in that moment. And I tried to divert attention from anybody's sexuality and just comment on the coaches themselves and how much I enjoyed playing for them. And it was a scary moment because it certainly did not feel to me like an isolated incident. It felt like something that probably had happened various times and was probably happening on a number of college campuses.
One of your best friends in college adopted the attitude of hate the sin, love the sinner. Was that a comfortable basis upon which that friendship could continue?
I thought so in the first moments that I heard the phrase. I thought love. I latched on to that word love, and I wanted to believe that the first part, you know, hate the sin, was not going to affect me or affect us. I thought the love would be enough. But as I watched that phrase become daily interactions and play out, I realized that the offering really was like a rock painted gold. It looked wonderful and shiny on the outside, but it was nothing that you could connect with. It was nothing that you could grow a friendship out of, because whenever I was around any of my friends who felt that who I was and my choices were sinful, it reminded me of the internal shame, and I internalized even more shame each time we interacted. And it became pretty clear to me within months that I could not continue those relationships when hate the sin, love the sinner was the basis.
At one point when you were still playing basketball at Colorado, you spoke with the team's director of basketball operations, whom you knew was gay, and she characterized women's college athletics as paranoid and closeted, her words. Was that an accurate description 10 years ago, and is it accurate today?
It's 100% accurate then and now. Right now, there are 351 Division I women's basketball programs, and approximately 50% of them are coached by women, and there is only one openly gay female head coach. And the players are receiving a message that says, it may be okay to be gay in a small circle, but you should not be open with who you are to everyone. That's not something we talk about a lot in the sports world, the media sports world, because women's sports just don't move the needle enough to really have the kind of watchdogs that we would need to start writing the kinds of stories necessary to help make this change. And so my hope is that this book, at least in some small way, gives somebody some courage to step forward and be a role model in that arena.
Brittany Griner, one of the best college players ever, came out just last year. Several male pro and college athletes have recently told the world that they're gay. Do you have a sense of whether that has made or will make life less difficult for gay athletes or non-athletes?
I think it has. I know when I sat down with Derek Gordon of UMass, who recently came out as the first openly gay male Division I basketball player. He was so adamant about the role Jason Collins played in empowering him. He's like, I want it to come out the very next day. So I think there are a lot of young coaches, there are a lot of young athletes watching, and they want that openness too.
Kate Fagan is a columnist for ESPNW.com and the author of The Reappearing Act, Coming Out as Gay on a College Basketball Team Led by Born-Again Christians. Kate, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
To read an excerpt from The Reappearing Act and my review of the book, please visit onlyagame.org. Even public radio sports shows that have been on the air for 20 years learn a new trick or two every now and then. We have the social media thing down, but we also have a new address, facebook.com/onlyagame NPR. If you've already liked us on Facebook, you'll still get our posts, but if you haven't yet, please check out facebook.com/onlyagame NPR. That's our new Twitter handle, too, by the way.